Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of Soap Dish Salem Style. I am your host, Tony Ann, and with me this week I've got Michael and Ariette. Say hello.
Hi.
Hi.
We are back on our recap game, and we're going to jump in with some news that we missed while we were giving you some special episodes. And first things first, we have Martha Madison is out. Belle will be leaving Salem in November. And I'm annoyed. I am so annoyed at this.
But you
Same.
know what? Martha Madison gave ample good reasoning as to why she's leaving, so I can't fully be mad because what she said made sense and it was the fucking truth. So I can't be mad at her leaving, but it really fucking sucks.
I'm not mad at her for leaving. I am mad at the situation she was put in, and I am mad at the producers for having the unmitigated gall to say, we're going to write you out, and then on her last day, hand her a script and be like, oh, by the way, you never know, you could recur for some legal business. The daughter of John and Marlena does not need to just recur for legal business. She needs to be anchoring damn story. And y'all are going to treat her like a day player. I was livid.
They haven't actually cared about Belle for over a decade. So I'm not, no, I'm
I'm
just
not
saying, like,
surprised, but it's
yeah, it's not
infuriating.
surprising. That's what I'm just like exhausted because why aren't you investing in Belle and Sean? Like, it makes no sense. So, I do think the character needs a massive reset because they, like, last year was a terrible year for Belle. And
Well, I don't know about that because that affair was nice.
no, well,
Yeah,
okay.
okay.
That last year made her character look terrible because let's be 100% clear that she left her husband who had basically been magically raped and then proceeded to have an affair. So yes, the affair might have been hot, but she still didn't look in the best light because of that affair. Because instead of supporting her husband through his trauma,
That
she
part.
left.
So that's why I'm
I
saying
mean,
she.
Sean Douglas did move that lady into his house.
Yeah, but like Belle was trash last year, and I'm still not back to being a complete
Well,
like.
let's be clear. They trashed Shell. They
They
trashed.
did. They
Yeah,
most
I
certainly
think it was
did.
equal footing on both parts.
But no.
But yeah.
I disagree, and we'll get into that later in the podcast. I just think the character needs a massive reset. Maybe it will do the character good. However, I don't think it just doesn't make sense to sideline the character for all this time. But I'm not surprised. It's very unfortunate, though.
And it sucks because there's Sean and Belle are in a storyline currently that they could be leading and anchoring if they were given the appropriate timing for it, but it's just going to pivot into a haphazard exit, assuming we even get an exit at all, because she was given a script to be the town lawyer, so clearly she's not dying, which thank you. So I don't know if she's just going to leave town or just like disappear into off-screen Salem.
Do you think they're going to recast?
No, I don't think they're going to recast. I think she's just going to be living in Salem and existing off-screen.
That is. I would rather them recast, to be honest.
But they don't see it for the character of Belle. It's not like they're holding it personally against Martha. So even if we got a recast, we could hope that we could get better writing for Belle, but at this point, I don't know.
I would rather them just have a recast who is good for popping in, doing her lawyer things, and coming for Christmas and whatnot. But just to have her on the canvas, but not on the canvas, is very weird to me.
And I could be completely misreading that situation, and I hope that I am, because that's not a good solution to the problem. But I don't know. But I do know that she airs into November, so we will see how this all plays out. All I know is it's not good. But the exits keep on coming, as Ariane Zucker recently said on Instagram that Aketra Sullivan is no longer on the show, so Talia will be soon exiting.
Boo!
I'm conflicted.
Same.
Because while I wanted to like Talia, they shit the bed with this character. They written her into a corner. Hell, they wrote her into the corner and painted her in, because there's no way I can avoid what she did and what she was involved in. What she did, she did not pay for.
No.
And while she did just get community service, that wasn't enough. She poisoned the town. And people could have died. People were sent to the hospital.
Look, and what Abe is going through as a direct correlation to everything that she and Colin did.
Exactly. And my thing with that is, it would have been different if, you know, there were some serious consequences for her. But a measly ass community service being done, and then her becoming a fucking doctor in the hospital on a trial basis. At that point, why I can't let it go. So I feel like she needs to leave for a while. Let us forget that any of this shit ever happened, and then come back. But I'm conflicted on that, because I really, really want to like the character.
And that's the thing. I do like the character, but they wrote her into such a corner that I don't see any other way out of this but for her to leave. I didn't want that for her. I wanted them to kind of make this work, and I wish
and
that
y'all
they had.
Know I'm good for ignoring the shit my faves do. If I really like you, I can ignore it. I gripe about it and make a joke every now and again, but I can really ignore some shit. This time I couldn't. You drunk the whole time, man.
And they didn't play into the abuse angle enough
for us to get it. Yeah.
Because it was there, and it was subtle. And it was
like,
absolutely
her.
Creepy and gross, and like,
yeah,
you
he
felt
was pimping her, but still, we only got a few weeks of that on screen. Now, if that story had been played out maybe 3 to 6 months, then maybe we would have felt a little bit more sympathetic. But with it playing out so fast, it felt hollow.
Yeah. And it also didn't help that we didn't know her, and we didn't know the person who was abusing her. Like that was another place where they failed too. They threw her on our screens, and then she and that story ate the show. And it aired, like, whenever it did air, it took up a majority of episode, and they didn't play into her connections to Salem enough to ground her to make us care. Because who she's connected to isn't grounded enough in Salem either. She's Jada's sister. Okay, well, Jada and Talia are Marcus Hunter's daughters. They
who hasn't been seen in 70 years.
True, but Marcus was a very popular character in the 90s. He is gone now. May he rest in peace. But he had huge connections to Steve and Kayla. We barely saw Jada and Talia interact with either one. We don't have an established friendship with them and Stephanie. There was nothing to really ground them.
Hell, Talia acts like she barely knows Kayla.
And that's kind of, that's the problem. If they had leaned into the connections of it all to make us care, the character would be more successful, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Aria, what do you think? I know you really like Talia and you were really kind of starting to vibe with Chanel and Talia. So where's your head in all this?
I completely disagree with y'all. I think Talia is actually one of the more complex and interesting characters in her age group. And she's got, like, Aketra has a lot of range. So she could carry bad stories, and she did. I'm very disappointed, but not surprised that they're writing her out. I feel like the show never gave Talia the proper chance she deserved. And I feel like the fandom did as well to some extent. Like, I get it, she did a bad thing. That makes sense. But everything she did, they ripped her to shreds. I do agree with how they introduced the character. I feel like they should have, like, done what works, like, tie in with, like, her being Marcus Hunter's daughter and Jada's sister, and, like, them knowing Steve and Kayla and all of that. And also have made her, like, a doctor immediately. Like, introduce her as a new doctor in town and have Colin maybe, like, play into her being connected to everyone and, like, use her instead of what we got. It wasn't a good way to introduce her, and she didn't really get the proper chance she deserved. And yeah, I feel bad for Talia, because I could understand where she was coming from immediately. I saw her intentions immediately. And yeah, I do think they should have developed that backstory a bit more. But I wasn't questioning it. It made sense to me. Yeah, I do think she should have, like, I do think, like, she is facing the consequences now, but it's all over the place. I don't know. They haven't handled the character very well, the way I wanted them to, like, introduce her, write her. Like, it's very disappointing, but I really, really like Talia. And they could have done so much with her. She had so much potential. And I personally think it's a loss for Days, because she's...
It is a loss, but...
Yeah, definitely.
Like, she... Had they given her the proper focus? Had they built her up more? Had they, like, spent time to develop the character? She would have been, like, so good. And she is, to me, she is. But they also did this mess. I can see why fans are, like, not feeling her, because of the way she was introduced and, like, calling, using her to get to Chanel and all of that. Like, I get it, but I don't think she was given a fair chance. And it really sucks. I hope that maybe down the road, she can come back. And, like, I like Belle, like, giving her a reset button and she comes back. Because I love Talia. Talia is my girl. I'm going to let her hold her L, but she's still my girl. I feel like it was such a mistake writing her out. And also, I'm going to end it this with, she hasn't done anything else. No one, like, what she has done isn't any different than what any other quote-unquote good character in Salem has done.
Yeah, no, these are crimes that absolutely can be forgiven, because we have a bunch of people in Salem who have done worse and have been forgiven. Exactly. It's just, it's,
I mean, look at Xander.
True. It's just been a little too
Well, not
soon.
only that, it's only been a few months.
That's the thing. It's
Yeah,
the timing
I
of it all.
yeah,
Because even with Ben, and I'm even with Ben, when they brought him back, it was still like 3 years from the time of the initial killing and 1 year
just
from the
saying
last time we
that's what I was trying to say. It's like I've forgiven much worse.
I think it's maybe the pacing, but
yeah,
yes,
definitely.
Like, had she given more time, I think fans would have warmed up more to her. But I also feel like she was never given the proper chance from the beginning. Because
I feel like we should have met her first. Should have seen.
We should
Colin.
Have known her for a few months before we knew about the Colin shit.
Yeah, she should have come in first. Colin should have come in second.
That's
it should
why I
have
think
been
she should have been introduced as a doctor. That
yeah
made more sense than the whole undercover bakery thing. I just, like, I talked with someone just on the timeline the other day that, like, having her introduced as a doctor and then, like, Colin using that in a way to get Chanel without Talia being directly involved.
And yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how and when they write her out, because we don't actually know when she's leaving. We just know she's not currently filming, so it could be anywhere between
please
now.
Bring her back. That's all I'm saying. That's all I want. That's my girl.
And this is Days, so anything is possible, and
yeah.
Gone is never really gone forever. So the door is always open, no matter how you end up leaving. But our last bit of news before we head into our headlines is Jen Lilly spilled all the tea in regards to her return and apparent recast. And this entire situation is, to put it bluntly, a clusterfuck. The quick and dirty version is basically when John Aniston died, Jen Lilly reached out, said, "I want to come back for his funeral. Let me know when you guys start writing it and filming it." Producers at Days heard, "Yay, she wants to come back. Let's write a 12-week story." Well, she reached out, they reached out, said they wanted her for 12 weeks. She said she couldn't do it. So they said, "Well, it's either going to be you or a recast, but either way, Therese is coming back." She said, "Okay, whatever. I understand. I'll be open, you know, to be a resource for whoever you choose to recast her with should they need me." They come back to her and say, "You know what? On second thought, why don't you come back? Give us whatever time you can give us, and we'll just work it out so that you can film the entire story in the time that you can give us. We know you can do it. We see how much work you can do in a day." She was so grateful, so happy. She comes back to work, but things aren't necessarily feeling like she's getting as much work as she could. It's not, she's not feeling like Therese, that she's going to be able to take Teresa in the direction they want to go in the time that she has left. So she goes to talk to the producers, specifically the former producer that just got fired, and was like, "Are we going to be able to do everything that I know Teresa has to do in the time that I have left?" And he said, "Yeah, Teresa's still going to do everything. It's just not going to be you playing her." So we will have a recast Teresa coming. And though this has not been confirmed, we are in the allegedly zone.
Ding.
We do need a sound effect for that. Allegedly, it is going to be Emily O'Brien, and we are doing what we did with Ben to Alex, with Gwen to Teresa. What are we thinking of this whole mess?
Okay, one, I could give a damn about Jen Lilly, considering the smear campaign she did on soaps when she left. Not only that, she's on that little channel that gives off, I'm not going to say that, that can get us sued. Never mind.
Leave it where you just said. Like, that's fine. We all know.
We all know exactly
y'all
what
know
it was.
Where I was going.
Yeah.
But, so I could give a damn about her and her feelings. As for, Emily O'Brien being Teresa now, I could live with it, and not just because it gets rid of my mortal enemy, but I feel like the character of Gwen has really run her course, because now they're just having her
Past
get
run
shit
her
on.
course.
Yeah. But now they're just getting her shit on just for the fact of getting her shit on.
And it's not fun
Emily
anymore.
O'Brien is actually a pretty damn great actress. So I would like to see her being given something with potential.
I am with Michael in this one. Like, I don't give a damn about Jen Lilly. I'm curious to see how they're gonna transition from Gwen to Teresa, and how they're gonna write Gwen out to, like, they're definitely gonna write her out. Like, she has run her course. Like, we're done. Like, I wanted Gwen to leave like 2 years ago. So, like, I'm over the character. So I'm curious to see how they're gonna do that. I like Michael said, she is, Emily's an amazing actress. So I think she can, like, really do well in this role. I'm just curious to see how they're gonna do it. It was, though, a bit messy how they handled this. But again, I don't feel sorry for her personally. But I can acknowledge how messy it was.
Yeah, it was fucked up. But fuck her.
Pretty much.
This entire thing was messy on so many different levels. Because my thing is, and listen, I'm not Jen Lilly's biggest fan either. But if you were going to recast her, why bring her back at all? And if that's where they fucked up for me. If you're going to recast, just recast from the jump, or at least be honest with her and say, hey, we are going to recast, but let's let you come back for the memorial so that you can do what you wanted and tribute John the way that you wanted to. But be upfront about it.
A way to kiss you goodbye. You know what I mean?
Don't just not say anything and then just have her on set feeling like things are not right and something's weird, and then having her go to you. And okay, not even just that. Who are you to write a story for an actor that you don't even have signed into a contract yet? How are you going to write a story around a person that you don't have an ironclad deal with so that you end up in a clusterfuck when there's a miscommunication that happens? This entire thing was bungled all the way around because there was miscommunications and unprofessionalism everywhere throughout this entire thing. Having said that, I am completely okay with a Teresa recast because I do believe that Teresa needs to be on canvas long term. If I cannot and am not getting Brady and Chloe back together, I will 100% accept
boo,
a
boo.
Yes, boo hiss to all of that, tomatoes, tomatoes. But if I can't have that, I will accept Teresa and Brady as a consolation prize.
End of outline, because I have some things to say on that.
But, and I think Emily O'Brien is an amazing actress. She deserves a way better character than Gwen Rischek. So I am excited to see her tackle this role if that part of the rumor is true.
Emily has chemistry with Eric.
With Eric Marstoff and with Rob Scott Wilson, because it seems like they are going.
We'll get there later. I have some things to say.
Yeah, no, that's all going to be part of our Victor Memorial segment. But that is going to be very interesting to see. And based on how long Jen Lilly was filming for, which was only like 3 to 4 weeks, and we just finished week one, the switch should be happening relatively quickly.
Will they do it for Halloween?
I don't know. So I don't know when the switch is happening. I don't know how the switch is happening, but it's coming, and it is coming soon.
I have a suggestion on how we can do that. Remember how they were supposed to do the Stephanie switch?
On Beyond Salem 2?
Yes. Do that now.
Okay. But we can now jump into our headlines, because that is the last of our news segment. And we are going to try to rush through this as quick as we can. First things first, EJ tries to have Ava killed for what happened to Susan. As Ava remembers Susan is alive, Ava gets the jump on EJ's henchman and shoots her, leading to Ava and Harris escaping from Bayview.
I'm not going to hold you. I didn't give a fuck about this story.
I didn't give a fuck about Ava or Harris. I'm very happy that Susan is alive.
I don't like Susan anymore.
I love Susan, so I'm very happy that Susan's alive.
Why? But we'll talk about that off the podcast.
I'm not really invested in this either, but Tamara Braun came and she slayed her scenes as per usual. That's my girl. Like, I don't care. But also,
I don't particularly care either, but this is a hell of a lot better than handcuffed to Rafe's kitchen in an apron making pasta.
Yeah. I mean, it's boring. It's whatever. But Tamara Braun is amazing. Like, she's one of the actors who can carry terrible storylines and do one heck of a job. Like, she's so good. I just watch for her acting when it comes to her. When it comes to this story specifically, I just watch to see her do her job.
And I will say that the chemistry with Tamara Braun and Steve Burton is very much still there.
Oh, I did make some notes about this story, but the story was so bad, I stopped writing notes. Just move Marlena to Bayview at this point. Since they keep bringing her over there, since she can kill everybody in damn Bayview, just put her over there and then get us a new psychiatrist in the hospital.
I will say though that this feels
because like her leaving her job and her practice to go over to Bayview at every beck and call is not realistic.
Well, she is also, she does also work at that hospital too. She's a doctor who floats to different hospitals. And as somebody who's been a patient to a doctor like that, that is actually realistic.
Well, it is, but also, no.
It's realistic, you just don't like it, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Which, fair.
It just does not make sense to me that Marlena is the one all be all psychiatrist in the fucking Tri-County area.
Oh, just like Kayla is the one all be all doctor.
Yeah, get some fucking doctors and
I mean they have Trip and they have no, she's not really a doctor yet. I was gonna say Natalia, but
she hasn't started yet, but
yeah. Honestly, truly, if they ever bring Sierra back, I would like to see Sierra as a psychiatrist.
I actually would not mind that.
I will say, though, that this makes, like, this is the first time in a while I feel like EJ is in character.
Yeah, I kind of also, that's the other thing I wanted to say, too. I like how they brought this up, because we started seeing him have nightmares again. And usually when they do these random turns of vengeance, it doesn't make sense, but they kind of correlated it. Now that he's so happy with Nicole and his upcoming baby, it's like he's starting to feel guilt because he hasn't really properly dealt with what happened with Susan. And now that guilt is manifesting itself in nightmares, and those nightmares are making him want to get revenge. So I really like the way that they threaded that.
Yeah.
So does anybody else have anything they want to add on this particular story? Because that was basically everything that happened.
Not really.
Where do we think Susan is and has been this entire time? Actually, while we're here.
I don't know. And I don't care, but I don't know, actually. I have to be honest.
Because if Susan could physically
I don't know how
get to EJ, she would. She stopped, dropped, and rolled before the car went over.
Okay.
That's what I always thought happened. But I just want to know where she's been and why she hasn't been able to get in contact with EJ this entire time.
Makes no sense.
Everybody coming back but Abigail and Laura.
Well, the door is never closed in Salem, so you never know. We might get them eventually. But we can move into our next headline, which is everyone gathers for Victor's memorial. Rachel came back, good Lord. Rachel Melvin came back as Chelsea for Victor's memorial. We had a decent portion of the show on hand to say goodbye to Victor Kiriakis and John Aniston. What did you guys think of the actual memorial and that entire episode?
Okay, can we break this down a lot by a lot?
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of things to say. Let's start with Chelsea returning.
Go ahead.
You ever had that cousin come to a family function and is basically like a fucking stranger is in the house?
Multiple times.
That's what this was.
And do we want to discuss what she named her child?
No, no,
I like
because
Chelsea, but
that was fucked up.
we're not going to talk about that. We've already discussed how terrible of a person Chelsea is. We're just going to talk about how this woman is family and does not feel like family. It was the every time she talked to somebody, oh, hello, I'm Chelsea. See, it was like she was explaining why she was there every moment she talked to some. Even when she was talking to who the hell was she talking to? I have to go speak to my grandmother Kate. And first
Oh,
off,
to Sean and Belle.
first off, can I just say the way Kate did not want to talk to that
Chelsea didn't exactly want to go over there either. It felt very much the if I don't say hello, she's going to be pissed.
and then it's like from Kate angle. If I don't say anything to her, Bill is gonna call and cuss me out. Like, oh, hello, grandmother, granddaughter. They did not want to speak to each other. They didn't even sit next to each other at the funeral. And if you ever had a grandmother in your life, your grandmother is gonna want to sit next to you.
I will
So,
say too, like they,
I
it
mean,
was.
the thing is though, the character has been gone for 12, no, 13 years. And so every family tie she had on the show was played up back in the day. It's not really the same anymore.
Plus the fact that this was supposed to be Sierra, and because of a
Yeah.
scheduling
And
conflict.
that, oh, that made no damn sense. Like, oh. So
No,
why
no.
didn't you just rewrite some scenarios around Chelsea? That didn't make sense.
That didn't make sense at all because they literally just rewrote the, they just put her in all the scenes that Sierra was supposed to be in and just reworked
Change
the
the name to
dialogue
Kate.
and just reworked the dialogue so it would make sense for Chelsea, which is why her seeing Maggie and like, because if that had been Sierra seeing Maggie and Sarah, that wouldn't have felt so strange because like we've actually seen them interact before, so it would have made a little bit more sense.
Sierra is a Horton.
Yeah,
It would have made
so
sense.
the whole
Meanwhile,
Chelsea
hold on.
thing just felt off, very off.
Okay, so let's move on to the next portion of this segment. Shit.
Can we segue to Philip while we're talking about returns?
Yes, Philip. How are y'all feeling about Philip? Ariette, I'll start with you.
Yes. Are you
How are you
enjoying
feeling about
Philip?
Philip's return?
Yes, I'm enjoying it.
Darn.
Surprise, surprise.
Listen, I have to eat a lot of crow here as well because I was not exactly thrilled when they announced this
Wait a
particular
minute, hold
casting.
on. Wait, pause, pause, pause. This means I was on the right side of history again.
Sir, when you're not even the Philip stan.
I when I said, remember when Jean-Paul Lavoisier was announced to be returning, I rubbed it in Ariette's face first.
Yeah, you
And
did.
then I went on to say that this is my Philip. And I can agree with this. I like this return. And y'all threw rocks at me.
It's not my Philip, but I can live with it because I like how they're writing him for the most part during this return. I do think, though, I see sometimes I think it's like acting choices because I do see some Rex Balsam mannerisms.
Well, especially in the stuff with Vivian on Friday. But I will say,
I also think it's a writing choice because why the hell did he run up and hug her?
Philip and Vivian always had a very weird relationship. Even in Vivian's return in 2010, Philip begrudgingly was nice to her given the circumstances.
What? I thought he was like okay with her being like in the sarcophagus.
Vivian was always nice. Crazy
auntie to him. He gonna have a soft spot for Vivian at all times.
Because we even saw it a bit with J. Kenneth Johnson too. The few times that they interacted, it was very much this woman is crazy, but I'm going to indulge her just because she's nuts, but I'm just going to grin and bear it. That's very much what this was.
Okay.
Both times.
That makes a bit more sense because I always remembered Philip as not really wanting anything to do with Vivian, but it's been a while since I watched the last stint. Not her last stint, but the last stint they both were in scenes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, when he married Melanie.
Yeah. I guess
Melanie Hive.
I really liked I've liked how they've handled his return so far. However, there could be some drama here and there. I think it would have made sense for there to be more drama with the whole Philip Braid and Chloe thing, but he's not around for a long time, so it is what it is. Are we gonna talk like more of his return or?
Yeah, but I was just gonna say that Philip's return in general has been very successful in a way that I wasn't expecting it to be. I was not expecting to care this much about his return or everybody's reactions.
I really enjoyed his scenes with Kate as well. Like those have actually been the highlight of this entire week because I hated this week.
But particularly when he was like, when she said something like, just like when you were in high school and you could smile at me and you think your dimples would get you out of trouble. And he smiled and she's like, well, but still works.
I like when he came in. Oh, so now you remember that you have a mother.
Which has very much always been their dynamic in the adult Philip years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just Kate with her children anyway.
Yeah, because they always
if her children come to town and they see somebody first, Kate's gonna get in their ass every time. Oh,
every time.
So you remembered I was here, huh? You must have just wanted some chowder, huh? Yeah, Kate's gonna get it every time. So that was very in character. I appreciated that.
Another Philip scene I really liked, and it's just it's hitting so hard. Is his speech at the funeral.
Oh, yeah, I was about to segue into all the memorial speeches, so we'll start there. Phillips got me.
Had me howling.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I died. I died. And
get out the way, my man is crying.
And the funny thing is, the way it was originally written in the script, Jamie did drop this tidbit, too, because he kind of went on a bit of a Twitter tirade, but he did manage to drop this little tidbit. When it was originally written, it was supposed to be Belle and Sean together helping Philip. It was Ron's decision to rewrite it that it was just Belle.
Of course.
To give Sean
a hatchet job to Shale, but
to give Sean more incentive to continue the spiral that we saw later in the episode.
He said move.
Get out the way. My man is crying.
Shall we call this episode My Man, My Man, My Man?
My man. I got to go get my man. My man. Oh, my God. My man. My man. Okay, now we can call it My Man.
It's just, I need to go back to his speech because it's hitting. All those years of us seeing Philip trying to earn his father's respect and love. And
Philip might get to talk that talk award this year, y'all.
Like,
through grief, he moves very
in character. It's very, that dynamic existed. And I just, it kind of breaks my heart that they never
got closure. But honestly, Philip's speech and Justin's speech were the ones that got me.
I feel like they have gotten closure.
Not real closure.
And let me tell you why.
Philip even said they didn't. So,
I mean, Michael, I they understand. Really didn't get, like, the
can
thing
I,
is.
Can I explain why?
Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I can understand why Philip doesn't feel the sense of closure. Because, yeah, he was institutionalized when Victor died and he wasn't around much. I get that. But for me personally, I can see where Victor had all of Philip had all of Victor's respect and love towards the end. Instead of using what Philip did against him, he automatically jumped to get him treatment while also simultaneously getting Brady out of jail. His actions in the last few years have, to me personally, shown he's let that you have to fight to get to the top of my love mentality shit go. But because also, not only that, Philip was out of the will, but Victor also set aside a trust regardless on if he was in the will or not. So he's going to be taken care of. It's the little small nuances to me of Victor's actions behind the scenes and sometimes during the last few years on the show that everybody may not feel that closure, but his actions were the closure to me personally.
Okay, that makes sense, but I still think they didn't get a chance to remedy what was left or like their relationship, their father. Like they had
I
such
can understand. I can understand because I know a lot of people are very much like, well, they didn't have the conversation, so it didn't really have it. Me, myself, I'm a person of what's understood doesn't need to be spoken aloud. And just based on Victor's actions, I'm understanding what he was meaning by doing the things that he did.
Yeah, but thing is, we didn't get to see this on screen with them. That's the point.
Yeah, I can understand where you're coming from.
He was gone. Philip was gone. No, never mind. That was 4 or 5 years. But like, every time they would take one step forward, they would end up taking 10 steps back. So,
and like, Philip never got to have scenes. And Philip never got to have scenes with Victor before he left. The person he went to was Kate. So even though Victor and Kate worked together to get him the treatment that he needed, Victor was never the one that he spoke to. It was always through Kate.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. So, because you know, he was in elder years.
Had Philip stuck around, this should be. We should have like led to a major dramatic story because now in his eyes, they've never really gotten closure. And it's something that could have led to something amazing. I just think like it's a missed opportunity, but it was such a good.
I kind of can understand why they called John Paul back for this. I guess because this Philip has had the best relationship with Victor out of all the Philips.
Not really.
He almost had the worst.
I don't know, because towards the end.
Remember, this is the Philip that betrayed Victor. This is the Philip that was working with Deimos.
Oh, yeah. But they wrapped that up at the end.
I think actually the one who had like the best relationship with Victor might have been Kyle Brantz-Phillips.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
I
yeah,
can agree
definitely.
With that. Okay, I can see that.
The most just complex is JKJ's version of Phillip. The worst is JPL's Phillip, and the best is Kyle Brandt's Phillip. Like those three, I guess we can say three eras
of the characters.
Of the characters, sorry. Not characters. but yeah, I just, that speech was so good. I'm trying to think of other speeches.
Justin's speech got me. Like that, ugh. Because honestly, Justin and Philip and Brady are the only ones that had relationships that we really saw, that we really cared about.
I'm annoyed that Kate didn't get it.
Well, don't forget about Sunny.
Sunny too, but with this, but because Zach wasn't the Sunny that we saw that a lot of that with, it didn't really hit as hard. If that makes sense. Like if that had been Freddie Smith, I think I would feel a little bit differently. I mean, Zach did amazing in the material, but it just, because he had so little time with John, it felt a little hollow.
I can't understand where you're coming from on that one.
I just feel like it was such a dumb choice to not have Kate be up there and talking about Victor.
With his wife right there in the front seat.
I do say, I will say
they've still been there.
She was there, but I do think they kind of covered that by they were doing what Victor wanted, and Victor would not have wanted Kate speaking at his funeral. Let's be real.
Still. Mm-mm. I feel like Maggie should have spoken.
Her memory and memorial last week.
Nah, I just feel like they made some stupid choices with this one.
I do wish Maggie would have spoken, but I think they probably
hold on. Why would Maggie speak at her husband's funeral?
Because that's what you do.
No. That's too much on a person's heart, especially an elder.
Okay,
I can't. I've never seen that happen.
I have.
That's weird. That's cruel and unusual punishment to me. But go on.
I can also see why Maggie didn't, because I can see that it's being way too much for her, so that she didn't. But it felt weird. Chelsea,
why is this stranger speaking at my uncle's funeral?
The Chelsea speech felt weird because I don't actually remember Chelsea and Victor being that close. They could have been, and I'm just not remembering, but I honestly do not remember.
I feel like her speech would have made sense if Sean was saying it with the whole Bo Victor thing. However,
or even if Sierra had said it,
actually, I just think like Sean should have talked, like Sean lived through it. But she actually does know about it. She asked Victor about it. Like,
yeah,
Angie
I remember.
And someone
I
else
remember
posted
the
clips.
Yeah, I remember. I saw the clip that Angie posted, which I forgot that happened. So I was okay that Chelsea spoke it, but in the moment, like after when I saw that clip existed, but in the moment it did feel weird.
Yeah, because we haven't really gotten that type of like character writing in a long time, so it felt very chunky and weird. But like going back and seeing that, you're like, okay, so we get why she's able to have this speech. But it doesn't make sense for her character to be the one having the speech. It should have been Sean. And I'm going to stand firm in that.
Also, I do want to say I really enjoyed the flashback montage we got with everyone. I do think it was odd that even though Nicole was not at the funeral, they included her in the montage.
And I feel like the... they did not have a good relationship. Why? Nah, they should have chosen a more toxic. I mean, you could tell that she did not want to be kissed on her cheek on that flashback. So it just nah.
But they, that.
Yeah, the flashback was giving. I think they should have added added something else for Nicole and Victor. And I honestly, yeah, maybe they, no, the show is too poor, but I would have loved to see Jace, Philip, and Victor in there.
They did that recently with something. They just did that with Eric. I remember with Eric. What it
was. Yes, with Eric and Nicole. With Eric and Nicole's 25th anniversary.
Yeah. So I don't know if they didn't want to do it because they don't have enough money, or I don't know, whatever. I just feel like they should have added there. And they did that with Peter, I think. So
yeah, that Peter flashback was really, like, the Beau flashback was really nice. They did a bunch of Beau stuff
with Jay.
And I love that we got bits of Caroline in there too.
Yeah, we did. I liked the flashback. I liked that or montage. It was fine. It was good. I just would have added and changed some things in there or some flashbacks in there.
I don't understand why Chloe was at the funeral though.
She was there supporting Xander.
That's nice and all, but she hated the man.
Yeah, that is true. Because Victor.
If I was Chloe, I'd be trying to knock the casket over. She shouldn't have been.
Brady and Victor weren't even speaking at the time that he died. So,
but that's different. That's his granddaddy.
Yeah, but still, like, I can see Michael's point because Victor was awful to Chloe. I mean, he was awful to everyone. Let's be real. But
he was. Like,
but I can see her being there for moral support.
Yes, but for Sean, she for should Sean, have been there with a smile on her face.
For Sean and Brady, too. Like,
yeah.
She's Sean's friend. She's
Philip, hello.
And Philip, like, there's a bunch of people there that she was going to support. And Chloe is not the type of person to dance on someone's grave.
Yeah.
That might be something you would do. That's not something she would do.
I'm still doing that with Mr. Biggs. Death.
Go to hell. Go to hell.
And on that
That's
note,
me too, before, Tony. So
before we go too far off the tracks here, I'm going to segue us into our next headline. After Victor's memorial, Sarah goes into labor, delivering her baby girl on a lawn chair at the mansion with Xander, Chloe, and Rex there to help.
Oh, and I cried and I cried and I cried.
I have to say, this birth was really well done because I love the way they juxtapose the flashbacks to Mackenzie's birth with this one. Because both Sarah and Xander, both, given the circumstances of this delivery,
absolutely petrified.
Absolutely should have been triggered back to what happened with Mackenzie. Well, I like the and fact I'm that very they, glad that they were.
They had Xander flashing back because he was just as scared for Sarah as she was. Because let's be clear, remember, he was there when Mackenzie was born.
Born and also died.
Exactly. So he knows exactly Sarah's fear.
And I love the fact that he immediately jumped in and, like, started doing Lamaze classes. Like, and I love the fact, too, that, like, Xander's speech and what he mentioned in his speech about Victor, about wanting to be a dad, gave Sarah pause about keeping the secret. And then
and you marrying Chloe?
But I will say, I love the fact that Xander got to be there for the birth of his daughter. He doesn't know that's his daughter yet. But
in her 50s.
Not 40s.
Well, she's in her, what, late 40s?
I think she's like 44 or something like that.
Oh, he got time then. That makes sense. Never mind.
So I was actually really surprised at how much I enjoyed this birth. And the thing that had me on the floor is when she told them to turn Victor's picture around.
That sent me.
I was on the floor.
No. My engagement ring is digging into my hand. Well, maybe you should take it off then.
I loved it. What do y'all think her name is going to be?
Victoria.
Yeah, I was
Yeah.
going to say that.
I don't really want it to be Victoria, but I
I'm
see them
still
doing it.
mad they named that first baby Mickey. Oh, furious.
Yeah.
Just to kill it. Oh, poor Uncle Mickey's memory.
I do wonder if Chloe watched Sarah and Xander together and is going to be like, yeah, no, I can't do this.
Oh, she definitely did. I mean, the way he got behind her, he's still in love with her. Everybody in at that mausoleum knew it. Even Victor from his turned around picture knew it. So it's no way possible she could have witnessed that and not be feeling, oh yeah, I have to jump ship before this gets out of hand.
So I'm very curious to see where this story goes now that the baby's here, because I do wonder if Xander's going to be drawn to the baby.
Oh, definitely. I think she's going to tell him next week because she was about to tell him before she went into shock.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Were you guys surprised when she passed out? No.
No, because soon as he said, I'm shivering, I said, she's hemorrhaging, Rex.
Yeah,
Call an ambulance.
I literally looked at my mom because we watched Ace together. I literally looked at her and I was like, she's about to go into shock. And that's exactly what happened. So I'm very curious to see where this story goes. Does anybody else have anything they want to add before we head into our last headline?
I didn't get to say much, but it
Oh
happens.
no, you didn't. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
No,
Arya.
it's fine. I mean, I personally did not. I mean, there were some moments here and there that were funny with the ring and turning Victor's picture around. But overall, it was, I do like that she gave birth right after his memorial funeral,
Right
whatever it was.
on top of his grave.
That I feel like that was soapy, but personally I didn't like the scenes that much. And then okay, I don't care about Sarah or Xander either, but I will say I did like the flashbacks to Mackenzie's birth. Like that was fine, but overall there was some
Oh, poor
writing
baby
choices and
Mickey.
acting choices I did not care for, but overall it was fine, I guess. And I do think they're gonna name the baby Victoria. I
Oh, I'm
just
sure they are. I don't necessarily want that. I want them to be a little more creative, but I'm fully expecting it.
Vicky.
Tori. No, I'm just kidding. You can call her.
We're just gonna call her Vicky.
Yeah. Not you suggesting Vicky.
Go to hell, Tony.
Wait, what? What am I missing?
We're not getting into that now. We'll play it later.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to our last headline. John and Steve work with the VA to identify the mystery patient. They believe him to be Joseph Bell, someone who served with John's father in the war. In actuality, he is John's father. Y'all, Dick Van Dyke is just so much fun to watch. I loved everything about this. And I'm probably the only one, but I loved it. What do you think, Michael?
It happened.
Yeah, I'm there with Michael as well. Like, it happened. I think it makes sense.
Why am I get I'm supposed to care because Dick Van Dyke, I get it, I really do. But why am I supposed to care about a man being John's father and we literally just met him last week?
I feel like this backstory, I guess, makes sense. And I'll give
It
the
makes
guilt.
little sense. This and what's killing me, the story is actually good. It's the fucking pacing I have a
I
problem
think
with.
they're not supposed to drag this one out for too long because they're setting him up for I don't know, finding himself, I guess. I don't know.
Well, not only that, it's Dick Van Dyke. They can't have him forever because, one, he's elder, two, we're poor.
But to me,
but my thing with that is, if you knew you did not have enough time to fully flesh a story out where it's genuine and where it won't feel hollow, y'all should have told a different story. I'm on the other. See, I did not co-sign this. I didn't co-sign this, but now I am. He should have just been Tommy Horton. If we only had this short amount of time, but us flying through this book so fast, it's not hitting.
For me, it's just another story where you're like I said, it makes sense. I will give them that. However, I'm tired of like sidelining the younger characters and their family for another story. For like, at this point, I don't care. Like, he was at peace with who he is. That I don't need them to do more. This works okay. I'll give them that, but they don't need to do more. It's time to focus on the younger characters in every family, build them up, set them up for them to lead, because we keep doing this and it just leads nowhere, and I'm kind of over it at this point. I don't have any like ties, or I don't really know Dick Van Dyke. Like, he's an American icon, and I'm like, I don't know this man, pretty much. I haven't watched anything with him, so I get why they did this. It just feels pointless in the long run when they should actually... We know who John is. John know who he is. Like, we should be finding out more, or we should be rebuilding his kids. Like, they should rebuild their family. I don't know, I'm going around in circles, but like, I think you guys are getting my point.
Yeah, but I am completely on the opposite end of this. I loved everything. The pacing completely didn't bother me. I didn't even think of any kind of pacing issue until I saw people bringing it up on Twitter. For me, I loved this. I loved the explanation of it. I wasn't expecting him to actually be Timothy Robichaux. I was expecting them to just completely change John's paternity. I'm actually glad they didn't, and they just kind of changed who Timothy Robichaux was. I love kind of the parallel of John's father having an identity issue similar to the ones that John has had over the years. And I love how, like, once John realized that he actually came from a really good and decent man, how happy he was and how instantly at peace he was. Like, I just loved everything about it. Like, all the scenes were just so good. And like, all of these scenes in general, this entire week, Dick Van Dyke on the show has just been so good, because him with Doug and Julie and singing on Monday was absolutely precious. Like, I loved everything about this, and I'm probably the only one here, but that's okay. I will be happy to live on the island of unpopular opinion in Happy Land over here. But you guys will have to sound off in the comments and let us know which one of us you agree with. Does anybody else want to add anything?
Not really.
All right, then we can go into our In Other News segment. Trip and Wendy finally fuck, and the earth did not move. Johnny tells Chanel how he feels. Talia is hired at the hospital. Sloane feels guilty for lying to Eric. Our Philip.
Can she finish? I want to go first.
Okay, our Philip.
Michael. Can she finish?
The earth did not move. That is the title of the podcast.
Oh, Okay. All right, Philip.
Are Philip and Chloe headed for a reunion? Sean's downward spiral continues.
Thank you, Aria. Good.
You're
Lord.
Welcome.
Okay.
I want to go first.
Go ahead, Aria.
So I'm picking, are Philip and Chloe headed for a reunion? No, I don't think they're headed for a reunion. I think they're headed for an exit. Together, that is.
Yeah, which is going to lead to a reunion, so it's kind of a yes.
Maybe. I don't want them to reunite, but
I don't want it either, but it's definitely feeling like it's heading there.
I don't mind it, personally. But I can see it happening. However, I don't think they should be heading for a reunion. However, there's still some feelings there. I don't know. I want it, but also I feel like I don't want it.
You don't want it mainly because of the story.
Yeah, it's kind of like rushed, but like, that means Chloe is exiting really soon. Because how many episodes does Philip what is his name? John Paul?
John Paul Lavoisier only filmed 13 episodes.
And he's been on for like 4 or 5 episodes.
Four or five of them have aired. Yeah.
So, or maybe more than 4 or 5. So he doesn't have a lot of time left. So is Chloe leaving with him in 2 weeks?
Like, I don't know.
Then they're going to find out the truth and dump, like, I can't wrap my head around.
Xander's definitely finding out next week.
It's got to be because, like, Chloe.
Because Sarah's about to tell him before she passed out.
Yeah. I don't see them dragging this pregnancy out. So that means he's going to find out soon. And Chloe's probably going to feel like, yeah, you should.
And
be like trying to like be a part of your kid's life instead of focusing on like our relationship, and she's probably gonna dump him, and then Philip is there to pick her up. Like, I feel like that's where we're going, but I don't think it should be there. However, this show is so terrible right now, I'll take my crumbs, and that's all I got.
I don't really want it either because of everything that Philip did before he left. Like, I'm completely fine with Chloe forgiving him, but there's a difference between forgiving a person for doing something absolutely terrible to you and like getting back together with them and falling back in love with them.
Yeah.
Because that isn't even the narrative of where they were when he left. They were not in a good place when he left, which is why they spiraled. She was not in love with him. She was in love with Brady. So I don't
wish they, I know we all disagree, but I kind of wish he brought up that she used him.
I'm glad they didn't, only because it would seem like he was trying to justify everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's not doing that, which I'm so happy about. But I feel like she needs to hold her L as well. But yeah, in the context of this, I guess we'll see how they do this. I hope they just exit together. Like, yeah, we're two friends just needing a break from this town, and let's go. I don't think they're gonna reunite, but I can see this show doing that. I don't know.
Between the conversation she had with Nicole and the longing look they gave each other in the town square the other day, I see the anvils dropping.
Yeah, I mean, it's my ship, so I'm gonna take my crumbs, but it's still like, I don't know. I'm so conflicted about this. But I guess we'll see what happens.
Michael, what is your In Other News pick?
Wendy and Tripp made love and the earth did not move. Neither did Michael. I waited for that. The afterglow of it all was I felt a little twinge of emotion, a little twinge of something, but no, I was very checked out on that. Bring home Joey.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if they brought home Joey, because at this point, Wendy and Johnny's not happening.
So, and that was my winning team to begin with. So yeah, bring back Johnny. It's a dud. Everything Tripp Dick touches just turns to shit. I don't know what it is.
The thing is, I actually liked Tripp and Wendy, and then they went on the road to sex hijinks, and it just killed everything.
Them asking Kayla to leave her home so they can fuck was weird. And then her having her own place and they choose not to do it there. The whole shenanigans.
Her brother lives there. I wouldn't want to fuck in the same room as my in the same house as my brother here.
Does he pay rent?
Yes.
Because he ain't got no job.
He pays rent.
Yeah, well, he needs to be out there checking the want ads and leave. And all of this was not good. The champagne exploding at the end, that's what really set off the corny. It was bad. Bring back Johnny. Maybe another triangle can revitalize this couple. Not Johnny, Joey.
Yeah, because Johnny's going to be elsewhere, which is what I am going to talk about in my another news pick. Johnny tells Chanel how he feels. Fucking finally. Let's get Johnny and Chanel back together, because this is where we should have gone the minute Allie left.
Don't y'all love being on the winning team?
So
I had to wait. I outweighed everybody and I won.
Patience is not usually a virtue you possess, but apparently it's working for you.
I don't know. Soap Sky Daddy is giving me all my things this year. He said I suffered enough.
Let's hope that 2024 you should prosper as well too.
Oh, it's probably going to be Ariette's year, which is an L for me.
Hey, a W for one of us is a W for all of us.
No, no, no. Nick and Ariette's W's, it end up being an L for me some way down the line.
A win for me this year would be seeing Yelani. So,
you already got that again.
Reunited for you. And her out of jail.
How much you on the bet soon she gets that she gonna see Kristen first?
Gosh. I just want them out by Christmas. And back by Christmas.
I'm sure Kristen wants Lana.
Hush, sir. That's not the conversation here.
All right. That's my another news pick is Johnny tells Chanel how he feels. I'm excited to actually see them together and like actually given a chance this time, because the devil of it all fucked it up the first time. So I'm really kind of excited to see where that takes us.
I would like to see that very, very, very slow burn though.
Yeah, we don't need to be rushing them back down the aisle. Can we actually see them date for a minute first?
Yeah.
Like, can we see them date? Can we see them falling in love again?
Can we see their romance? Because we didn't go to Italy with them.
Like, can he recreate the moment in Italy in the town square just so we can kind of see it? Like, just something.
Didn't they already do that for Lexi when she was dying?
Yeah, he, like, rebuilt their garden or something. It was really sweet. But that's basically everything. Now we head into our segments. Michael, are you gracing us with a read this week?
Yes. My read of the week goes to the Kyriakis family.
Mm-hmm.
How y'all have a fume and ain't got no spread out for people? All they had was some damn mimosas, Tony. I was very unamused by that. Y'all didn't even have no damn chicken salad, no caviar, no nothing. I was with Vivian on this one. It was a very poor affair. All y'all had was mimosas. Shameful all around. That is my read of the week.
All right,
get
all
some right. Fucking money days. Put money where we it needs to be put.
All right, are we praising or shading this week?
We are praising, despite the fact that I have so much to shade because the show is so terrible. But anyway, I'm praising Philip's speech. I have two things. Philip's speech is one of them. I thought it was perfect. It described, basically just described their whole father and son dynamic and how complex it was. Like, I specifically like when he said, oh, dad, wherever you are, I hope you can see that I'm still trying, still try, striving to be the man worthy of your love and respect. And I was like,
oh, yeah, that
like,
opened
that
up the floodgates.
Yeah, that hit me right in the feels. And actually, I'm enjoying Vivian's return. Louise Sorrell has not missed a beat. And it just amused me. I was so amused. She was like, when she said to Philip as he was leaving, glad to see you're glad to know you're alive. You can't say that. So, like, I don't remember the exact quote. But
glad
like,
to know you're not dead. You can't say that about too many people these days.
Yeah, that's the one. She just had me on the floor. It was perfect. So these two things get my praise this week.
I am going to piggyback off of Ariat's praise because I too am praising the return. You're going to end it because mine is the same as Ariat's, because I too am praising the return of Louise Sorrell as Vivian Alamein because it was perfect. Louise Sorrell is Vivian. She was Vivian the moment she came home. Like, I just loved everything about those scenes on Friday. I love the way that everybody wanted to beat her ass. I love the way that she did not give a fuck. I loved the way she reacted to Philip. I loved the way she reacted to Bonnie. I loved everything. So welcome home, Louise Sorrell. Michael, are you praising or shading?
Y'all are going to be shocked because for about an hour we shit talked the show, but I'm going to be praising as well. I am praising Lindsay Godfrey and Suzanne Rogers for their acting this week. I really enjoyed their scenes when Sarah found the pearls and Maggie was explaining how Victor gave it to her for his 10th anniversary. It was beautiful and I loved it. I also like Lindsay Godfrey's acting as she was pregnant and trying to sit down at the fume. It tickled and amused me. I like seeing pregnant women sit down. It's like trying to
Rex
see a
having
turtle
to help
turn
her was
over.
Very believable.
Yeah,
you
it's
can
like
tell
seeing a turtle try to turn over. It's hilarious to me.
You can tell Lindsay Godfrey's been pregnant before and actually knows how that works.
Yes. So those two get my praises.
All right. Does anybody else have any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
John Robichaud. We can change his name now after 70 years.
He's still going to say John Black, even though he knows his name now, because he's been John Robichaud for the last 10 years and he didn't change it.
I wouldn't want to change my name to Young Lomain either.
He knew he was Timothy Robichaud's son. He didn't change it.
Young Lomain. He tried to kill him. I wouldn't try to change my name after somebody who killed
All
me.
Right, let's wrap this up.
Fair point. All right, do you have any final thoughts?
I'm trying to say no. Actually, okay, no. Well, just can we get back to days being good?
I feel like it's coming. I don't know. I feel like we're wrapping up all of the stories that have kind of not been so
You're
good
way more
in the next few weeks.
Than I am, Tony.
Well, that's always been the truth.
I'm going to say, what's new with that? We've been doing this almost 3 years and we've never wavered her faith.
And you never will. And on that note, we'll see y'all next week. Bye, everybody.
I've made God more filthier, but hey, I can take that.
You actually haven't, but that's okay. Bye, everybody. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.